Chase Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. Willie's in Calgary. You and I are here. Nick Kieser on the ones and twos. Trying to connect with Hal Gill. But if we don't, we'll continue the discussion with the Predators as not a great start to the season for them. 3-6-1 to start things off. And Willie, you know, a point that you were making in the last segment, I agree with you that Edmonton's Edmonton. They're 7-3-0. Draisaitl and McDavid are playing lights out right now. Evander Kane's playing well, too. Yeah. I mean, that's another one. He had a hat trick last night. Granted, one was an empty netter.
I would not have touched him with a 10-foot pole when he was going through it. I just would not have looked at him. But he is a talented player, and it looks like, at least from where we sit, that he's got his life together in order so that he can play good hockey. And he's the perfect guy that they picked up. And we'll see if you know, his issues off the ice or in a locker room, which is, you know, that's really the thing. You can be a screw up off the, you know, away from the team. But if you're you can also be a good teammate and a great winning player. You know what I mean? There's a lot of different combinations. But Kane had issues in his personal life. But also the biggest issue was he was just a bad teammate, a guy that his teammates didn't want any part of. But he appears to have turned over a new leaf. And, man, he is playing great for the Oilers. And, you know, kudos to them for taking the risk because they've been rewarded.
So to what I was saying is, you know, to your point, usually I don't write off any team, but I would say, okay, you know, if it's a tough-fought game and they lose to Edmonton, I get it. But the fact that they're inconsistent right now, the fan base is, of course, restless. And, you know, we talked to David Poile about this last week. When that happens, generally the blame starts going in one direction. One of two, the coach or the general manager. That's where it goes. Rarely is it to the players. And I think this is a very, very talented team. They're less than 10 games in. I'm not trying to use that as an excuse, but it is, you know, I do know that I've seen things turn around after that point. But it is confusing because this team is too talented to be playing as inconsistently as they are right now. And so, Willie, you're there. You're watching them. I know you have five things that stand out to you of what's going on with this team right now. So what are they?
Yeah. So I would say here's the troubling part. They're 3-6-1. And they've been healthy the entire time, right? It's not that, hey, you're underachieving because X, Y, and Z are out, right? That's scary. Like, what if you had a few injuries? You're going to have some injuries over 82 games. So what happens then? So you're missing opportunities to bank points. Like, the schedule's been good, right? They haven't been hit with a bunch of back-to-backs. They've had teams that on paper they should be in position to beat, and they haven't done it. So that really is what to me is troubling, is that they've missed the opportunity. If they played well with the guys they have, they should have two or three more wins for sure. All right, so let's go through the five things. Number one, we talked about it with David Poile yesterday, and this wasn't the issue last night, but when you get nothing from your power play, and I mean nothing, just a good power play. Forget about an excellent power play, which is what they had last year, right? They had one of the six best power plays in the league. They were over 24%, but they were getting zero from the power play. And as you heard David Poile say, if you have a good power play, it can mask weaknesses on your team. So right. I could argue that they would have three more wins if the power play was clicking like it was last year. And if it was just average, league average, they probably have two more wins than they have.
Yeah.
But they were 3-39 going in for last night. So it's hard to win when you get nothing from your power play. That's the first thing.
Let's get Hal Gill's thoughts on this. He joins us now on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Hal, you've been listening to what Willie was just saying as we kind of try and diagnose what's going on with this team right now. I think he makes a very good point with the power play that's led to a lot of the inconsistencies, because until last night they weren't really getting much out of the power play.
Yeah, that's you know what? I think the power, Willie said it. You're talking about three different three wins maybe if your power play is clicking, and you're talking about maybe a lot more confidence. You know, you lose some games because you can't score on the power play, and then you fight the battle for confidence. I think the power play gets guys going, and then it translates into 5-on-5. And so I think if they can get that power play going, it looked good last night, and it kept them in a game that maybe they wouldn't have been in without it. So, you know, there's so many factors. You get a hot goalie to steal a game for you. You get a power play to steal a game for you. Maybe your penalty kill steals a game for you. And then individual performances. I think they know that everyone's got to be better to a man. But, you know, sometimes you get an individual performance that just that wins the game for you. So there's a lot of things that the Preds aren't getting right now.
What do you want to see from the leadership group of as they, you know, because ultimately the coach has a lot to do with it too, but it's going to be the guys in the room. That's who takes care of this, and they police themselves. So what do you want to see out of guys like Josi, Ekholm, Forsberg, Duchesne that are the quote-unquote leaders of this team?
Yeah, you know what? I had a good talk with Ryan McDonough yesterday and the interview before, and you know, he understands. He's been there before. He's had downturns, and you just got to stay with the process. You can't get too flustered. You can't panic. You have to stick with it. And I think the leadership group is, they've always been really self-aware of where they're playing. They know when they've played bad, and they know when they've played okay, and just let a game slip away. And sometimes you win a game where you haven't played well. You have to be aware of that as well. But I think, you know, if you're looking at Roman Josi, Matthias Ekholm, Mikael Granlund, you know, these guys know how to play. They know the right way to play. They don't want to force it too much. They want to play a hard, simple game, but they know that they have to perform, you know, and I think the top lines know they need to perform, and that's the leadership group stepping up and getting it done when it's the chips are down.
Hal Gill is with us. Hal, I wrote down five things that I think are fixable, but I think have to get better. I talked about the power play. You just weighed in on that. Another thing, this is right up your alley, is, and we just talked to Matthias Ekholm last hour about this too. It's just been too easy to score on them. Forget about Draisaitl and McDavid and guys like that.
Yeah.
Those guys, they're going to really make you look bad if you have breakdowns. But there's too many key breakdowns at key times. So how do you fix that as a group?
Yeah, I think there's certain hesitations that I'm noticing. I think, you know, for example, one D steps up. The other D has got to come over and slide and support. And then the weak side winger has to cover the backside, you know. So, breaking down, I think it was McDonough steps up. On McDavid's goal, McDonough steps up. You know, Favreau's got to come across and trust the weak side winger. I think Favreau was coming across, but he takes 1 second to look to make sure the backside is covered. And then that's all that McDavid needs is that one little hesitation. And I think once you get confidence, once you get a couple wins, then, that all just clicks. You know, McDonough steps up, Favreau says, boom, he's over there, he's quick, and he's on it. He doesn't hesitate. And maybe that play gets snuffed out. And it's just a fine line. It's just one shoulder check more than you used to. And once they get that confidence in each other, then it just kind of goes together. And it's a tough game. Especially you're playing against guys like McDavid. They're going to take advantage of it, and they're going to find a way to score if you give them an inch.
Another one I wrote down is just poor decision-making at times. And I don't want to single anybody out, but I'm going to use this one play as an example. The Predators give up back-to-back goals to go from up one to down one in the first period. So things are starting to swirl. It's a tough environment. Crowds into it. They're used to seeing, you know, they're used to seeing the blood in the water, and the Oilers go wild offensively. So Dante Fabro makes, he goes for the long bomb. He tries to hit Roman Josi up the ice. He goes across long distance. It gets picked off. It comes right back the other way, and Connor McDavid scores. And all of a sudden, 2-1 becomes 3-1 like that. It just seems like sometimes those are the decisions that, and the game is so fast, and like you said, there's so little difference between making the right decision and the wrong decision. Sometimes it's just hesitation for a fraction of a second. But it seems like that's happening too often right now.
Yeah, I think what you're seeing is exactly what I saw. Is there's a disjoint. Forwards are blowing the zone, and the D are trying to hit them as opposed to, all right, let's get back, let's get low support. Maybe we're not going to have the home run quick play to tie it up. Maybe we're just it's going to be three passes, and then we'll work it up and we'll get it to the red line and dump it in and go on the forecheck. I think they're disconnected. And you know, that's when it shows up. When it's clean, it's great. You know, when they're executing and they're making those plays, it looks awesome. But sometimes you got to grind it out, and it's hard work, and it's coming back, supporting the puck, and you know, the forwards are looking for, okay, I'm open, hit me, and well, maybe just have to come back, make the easy play, make the hard pass, and then chip it in. And I think that's kind of crept into their game, where they're trying to get too much too quickly, and they just got to grind it out and keep it simple, especially on the road.
All right, before we let you go here, last one. I asked Matthias Ekholm this question. He is completely confident. I could tell it the way he's saying, look, we've been together for a while. We know how we have to play. We're better than this. We think we're better than we were last year with the additions we made. But obviously it's not going well. So when they meet today, I don't know if they're going on the ice or not. We got snow all over the place here in Calgary, but I'm not sure what their day is ahead. But I asked him, when you get in there and you address each other as a group, the leadership group, is there a lot of yelling and screaming? What's the tone? How do you go about trying to fix this with the urgency that you need?
I think that's when the leadership group steps up and says, all right, we're dialed in today. We're not, you know, yeah, we're going to have fun. They always have fun. You have to have fun in order to be good, but you need to focus on what you're trying to do, what you're trying to accomplish in practice, and you need to dial it in. And so there's a level of intensity and urgency that they need to go on, whatever they do. If it might be a meeting, and they need to dial it in and focus on it. When you're losing, you have to reel it in and focus that much more. And it doesn't mean you get mad at each other, but, you know, it means that you're just another level of focus.
Skillsy, as we let you go, please don't lose Max. It's his first road trip. I've been a little concerned about that because, you know, you tried to lose me on my first one. So I just, you know, make sure he's okay.
Yeah, and
I'll take
Hal,
care.
I would
you
say,
know
you know, you've looked outside, I'm sure. Visibility is low today. I can't see more than about, you know, 10 feet out my window. The snow is so thick right now. So be careful. You might lose Max in the snowbank.
I'm gonna have him carry a flag.
There you go.
So I can find him in the snow.
That's good.
That's a good one. Skillsy, thanks as always. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Cheers.
Hal Gill, Predators radio analyst, TV analyst, as well, joining us here on the show as we talk about all things going on with the Nashville Predators. We'll get back into that a little bit later on. But there were some interesting comments from Phil Sims on Derrick Henry that I want to talk about and play for these guys. We'll do that coming up next. It's Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. When the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in that game, that night you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45 with Robbie and Rexra. Back here, Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. So yesterday, and Willie, we have our poll question up. Let's get to that real quick. We have re-asked if you could go back and reverse the A.J. Brown trade, would you? We put that up on our Twitter account, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and you can go vote in that right now as I try and pull up the results, and I'm not doing a very good job of it. But
I got it right here.
Okay, hit us with it.
It is 71% of the audience are saying yes. Now, that should surprise nobody,
no,
right? Because this is the classic, well, hindsight is 2020. We asked it on September the 1st, before the season started. It was almost flipped. It was 67% said no. They liked how it was. Roll with what you got. So it just shows you the ebb and flow. Now, we could do this in another month. The results might be different, and we might just do that. We'll see how it goes. maybe Treylon Burks can come back and contribute, and maybe his future will look bright. So right now, A.J. Brown's on fire, and the Titans look like they're in desperate need of a wide receiver. So we just want to keep people voting. And so we've got this open. Tell us how you feel. If you're still good with rolling the way they've got it, then vote no. But the poll question is up.
Yeah, check it out at 1025 The Game on Twitter. So yesterday, Willie, Derek and I were having this conversation of, can you sustain what the Titans offense is doing right now, basically running Derrick Henry? And we played some clips of Eddie George from his show Monday night on that subject. But Phil Simms was on Sirius XM talking about it with, I believe this is with Chris Mad Dog Russo, was talking about it. And I thought his response to this was pretty interesting. Take a listen.
The thing that bothers me about the Tennessee Titans, I love who they are. I like Mike Vrabel, how he just can communicate with his players and how he's all about connecting with them. And it's really worked for him. But their margin of error, Chris, is so slim because of their style of play. And, you know, yeah, they're going to run the ball. I'll say this. I think it off the top of my head. Derrick Henry has touched the ball in the last three games over 90 times. You know what? You cannot sustain that. There's
not for
no
17
way.
Weeks. Good points, Phil.
No.
Yeah, can't do that.
I saw it
yeah.
2 years ago. He was on fire. And what? Right? They went to the championship game, and then we were there. And I remember going, he's not the same guy. It was just too much. They were riding him, and I understand that. But it wasn't the same, and there's no way. 219 yards yesterday, I think he got. So there's just no way you can keep this pace up when you're a physical, big running back like him, 17 or 15 or even 12 weeks a year like we saw yesterday. I don't think you can keep that up. They got to get the load to somebody else. Ryan Tannehill, you know, they got to get him back in the lineup, and he's been playing really well. So he gives them, of course, a much better chance than a rookie quarterback.
That's Phil Simms on Sirius XM Mad Dog Radio with Chris Russo. Now, I can't see Willie right now, but I can only imagine on our stream. He's going, he's just waving his arms going, I've been telling you. It's what I've been saying. So, Willie, I'll give you the floor first.
But I got a rebuttal to what you're going to say, Willie, already. But go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
I know you're ready, D-Mace. And I know what D-Mace is going to say, and I agree. The catch 22, the dilemma is,
I see what
they
you did
have
there.
No other way to win. They have no other way to win. They have to do it this way. But it does take its toll on Derrick Henry. Because I do believe Phil Simms is right. It's a warning. You can't do this when you have 10 more regular season games. Regular season games. 10. He is on pace again to get up into that dangerous range of carries. And I know it is Derrick Henry. He wants the ball. He's effective with the ball. They can win. It is interesting, though, for me, D-Mace, that you hear it from Phil Simms. Because I used to watch Phil Simms every week.
Exactly.
I loved the Giants growing up. And that's how they didn't have much margin for error. You know, they ran the heck out of the ball. Remember Otis Anderson? Mm-hmm. They used to run the heck out of the ball with him. They didn't throw it very much. They had a great defense. They didn't mind winning 17-10. So it does work, right? It's old school, but it is effective. But I agree that I agree with Phil Simms that they've got to be wary of this, and they've got to see if they can take some pressure off somehow.
Well, here's the thing, and I'm not saying you're wrong because how long can you continue to play this way before it just catches up with you, and it catches up with you at the wrong time, like it caught up with them 2 years ago when they were in Kansas City. And they didn't have any other recourse because they were so heavy on Derrick Henry. It's the old saying, don't put all your eggs in one basket, because if that basket falls, all the eggs are gone. It's sort of like Derrick Henry. Don't put all your eggs in the Derrick Henry basket, because if he does get stopped at the wrong time, meaning an AFC championship game or divisional round, then you're out of it. You can't go back and say, well, next game we can do this. You can't go back and say that, because they stopped your only source of generating any type of offense. They've stopped it. But they can do this and win this way two ways. if they do this, they got to find, they got to get at least one or two big plays on the outside a game. They have to. They got to get one or two explosive plays on the outside in order to continue to do this. Those wide receivers have to show up, or either the offensive coordinator has to generate or put together a game plan where he schemed these guys open. You don't always have to have the best players to win a game. You just have to have the best scheme and use it at the right time to win a game. That's what it's all about. It's not necessarily every once in a while you have a team that we're just better than you. This is what we're going to do, like the Titans did last week. We're better than you. We're going to run the football, and you cannot stop it. Try if you want to. It's not going to work. And it didn't work for the Houston Texans. But a lot of times when you have teams that are either evenly matched or whatnot, it's usually how the scheme is played out throughout the game that get guys open. You wonder why Cooper Kupp runs wide open half the time. Well, 90% of the time. You wonder why Stephon Diggs is running wide open down the middle of the field. It's because of the scheme. And Buffalo, like I said yesterday, Buffalo they're not a conventional running team. They do it in different ways. But I tell you one thing, nobody's ever said, oh, you can't lean, you can't win this way, Buffalo, moving forward. Buffalo can win the way they're playing, throwing the football. They can win that way. But no one's ever said Buffalo can't win. Why? Because Buffalo has playmakers, and they find a way from a running standpoint to keep defenses honest. Because they're not a conventional running team. The quarterback gets yards, the running back gets yards, but they're not sitting back, turning around and handing it off and say, let's go. There are other teams in the NFL like that. So to me, the Titans can win this way, but they have to find another way, maybe an unconventional way, to get the ball down the field. Baltimore did it. They were a run-heavy team, but they found ways to get the ball down the field. 2 years ago, the Titans did it. They were a running team, but they found ways at getting the ball down the field. That's what they got to figure out. That's why, to me, this is all on Downey now. He has to find a way, because he knows this is – teams are going – once you get in the playoffs, which they are going to make unless it's a complete debacle, they're going to have to find a way to generate points and big plays via the passing game. Don't tell me it can't be done, because I think it can be done with Ryan Tannehill at the helm.
Okay. You're going to tell us how it can be done coming up next.
Absolutely.
Be the offensive coordinator. Yeah. Tell me how it's going to be done. Coming up next is Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason in Nashville, Willie Donick in Calgary. All right, D-Mace, offensive coordinator. How can you make the passing game work? You say that's what they need to do. How do you do it?
Okay. And listen, not taking anything away from Downing or any other pass, you know, any other offensive coordinator out there, because obviously they got that job for a reason. And that reason is they knew exactly what to do and when to do it and how to do it. So, but, you know, if you're asking me and what I see and how this can be fixed, well, to me, you know who your player, you know who you have on this team. You know what your team is. You have to start designing plays or scheming plays. And maybe he's doing it. I don't know. But you got to start scheming plays or designing plays to scheme guys open. Even teams, and it doesn't have to be, I think when I say this, people think, well, you're scheming guys get open and it's supposed to be this 300-plus yard game via the pass, you know, every week. No, it's not that. It's this. It's getting big chunks, getting explosive plays, at least two to three explosive plays in the passing game. Because if you look at all those teams, when we talk about the Buffalo Bills, the Miami Dolphins, Cincinnati Bengals, and I'm just talking about teams that has shown the ability to throw the ball down the field. Buffalo, Kansas City, I said those. What they do is they find a way to get at least 2 to 3 chunk plays per game. You know what that does to a defense? Even if your receivers aren't A1 receivers, even if they're not, top tier starting number one receivers on your team. They may be number twos, or they may be 1B instead of 1A. When you start to get chunk plays, defenses back up. They respect it. You know, they're not looking at it from the standpoint of, oh, you can't beat us. It's not about me individually beating you. It's about my scheme beating your scheme, you know, because these teams, a lot of these teams don't have one guy traveling around with just one receiver. Even the Rams with Jalen Ramsey, who was considered a top three corner, he doesn't shadow a guy all game. They got their defense, they got their scheme, and they play within the scheme. Well, as an offense, you have your scheme. You scheme these guys open because it's not an individual. It's a scheme that's scheming against what the defense is doing. So if I can scheme a guy open, have him running down the middle of the field, or have him catching a 10-yard pass and then able to get up the field, because you got to understand, that's what the Titans offense was last year. They wasn't beating a lot of people down the field. You know, nine routes, post routes. No, it was getting those intermediate routes, catching them, scheming them open with the play action, because they can play action, people. They got an elite running back. You play action, and you throw it in the middle of the field 10 yards, and that guy runs an extra 10 to 15 yards. So it's all about
Who is that guy? Like last year,
I understand that guy is A.J. Brown, okay? But you can still do – we've seen glimpses of it with this team. We've seen
they need Burks. Don't you think they need to get Burks back somehow?
They need to get
him in that spot, because that's what he supposedly does well, right?
They need to get him back, absolutely. But they can still, with the guys that they have, with the plays that they design, they can scheme these. I've seen it. I've seen guys get schemed open. You know, we see it every day. If you took these receivers, whether it be Cooper Kupp, Stephon Diggs, whoever, Jefferson, Chase. I think Chase is a little bit different. I do think Chase is Adams and Chase. I think they're a little bit different. But all of these other guys, they're usually motioning, you know, stacks, getting them so the defense can get off of them so they can run scot-free. Because what they do best is once they catch the ball, they're gone. And they got good hands. They don't normally just line these guys up and say, you win one-on-one with that guy. They can't do that anymore. The NFL is not built that way. You got to scheme these guys open. That's what I said. Downing has to start doing more is identifying. I've always said this. Identify who your playmakers are for you. Not what we think playmakers should be based upon the NFL. It's who are your playmakers and what can they do for you? Single those guys out. All right, we've singled 2 or 3 guys out. Now let's design our offense around and scheme these guys open. Whether it's getting them the ball 10 yards down the field, 5 yards down the field, 15 yards down the field. Because once they get the ball in their hands, they're able to do things after that. And I think the Titans do have a few players like that. But for some reason, when you're watching the game, it's like all these guys are covered. And it's not because – I don't think they're covered because they're going against just an elite corner. They're covered because they're not doing a good job at doing what they need to do to get these guys open. That's just my – and if you tell me – because I just said this to Chase off air. If you tell me, Willie, that an elite quarterback can carry you with his arm throughout a whole season. We're talking about Josh Allen. We're talking about Patrick Mahomes. We are talking about Tom Brady. When he's at his peak, it doesn't seem like he's there right now, but I'm not going to count him out. Or you can throw 2 or 3 more quarterbacks in there. We don't ever say that elite quarterback can't throw his way to the Super Bowl. We don't say that. We say they got to play great defense in order to win it, but we never say an elite quarterback can't throw his way to the Super Bowl. Derrick Henry is an elite running back. Damn what anybody else said. They wrote him off. He's going to slow down. The man hasn't slowed down not one bit. Now, does he have that burst, long stride, a long field burst that he once had? No. But he's still a bruiser, and he still can carry you because he's an elite running back. He can carry you. Just like what we say about elite running quarterbacks, they can carry us, but we do have to, you know, we do got to be able to run the ball a little bit. Well, Derrick Henry is an elite running back with an offensive line that blocks very well running the football. Only thing we have to do now is scheme these guys, make a few plays in the passing game. We'll be all right because we did it 2 years ago. I know the personnel is different on the outside. I get that. But if you give me 2 to 3 big plays in the passing game with Derrick Henry in the backfield, I can ride you all the way to the damn Super Bowl because their defense is playing well enough.
Derek, this is what I'll say. I love that you have the optimism. That gives me hope. If you think they can do it with their guys, I got hope because I believe that you know what you're seeing. But here's what I think about when you say that. They have to maximize.
Yes.
They have to maximize what they have to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, Treylon Burks comes back at some point and gives them a little bit of a lift. Maybe Kyle Phillips gives them a little bit of a lift somewhere and adds an ingredient. He showed promise in the first game. But the good teams get better as the season goes along. And I think that's what they have to try to figure out is how do we maximize what we do have? They elected not to trade for a wide receiver. They didn't trade for a left tackle. They feel like they can roll with what they've got. So how do you maximize what you've got? That's going to be the challenge going forward without sacrificing the bread and butter, which is we're going to line it up and Derrick Henry is coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
You better be ready for it. Everybody in the stadium knows he's going to get it, and we're still going to run it. So how do you add that change up and get the maximum out of the passing game?
That's the million-dollar question there, Willie.
Mm-hmm.
Because, at this point, you kind of have what you have. They stood pat yesterday, didn't add anything. So how can you do all that with the pieces that you have? There is one piece of good news on the defensive side of the ball that Elijah Molden has returned to practice. He remains on IR, but they have made that transaction. So they now have the 3-week window that's open to bring him off IR if they choose to do so, see how he's doing. So getting that piece back. Speaking of the defense, there's an interesting article in The Athletic that has come out, Dan Pompey, on Jeffrey Simmons. We'll discuss that coming up next. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in this Sunday for the NFL Game of the Week on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. This week's game will feature the Buffalo Bills against the New York Jets at noon. NFL Game of the Week is brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Superbook Sports. Go to number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. So, this article has come out on The Athletic, and it's spicy. Dan Pompey of The Athletic has written it, and it's a piece on Jeffrey Simmons overall. But then you get to the spicy part of it, the contract. There's a piece where it says, Simmons' contract is up after the season. Donald set the bar for defensive linemen when he signed a 3-year, $95 million deal with the Rams in the offseason. That's an average of $31.6 million per year. Simmons says the Titans discussed his future with him in the offseason. Quote, it was, we want you to be here, but we don't know exactly when we'll be able to pay you, he says. The Titans were like, we don't know if we're going to be able to offer you what you think you are worth. We want to pay you, but we don't know where it's going to come from. That's basically what it was, not an offer. What do you guys make of that?
Well, first of all, the whole article is fantastic.
Oh, it's very well done.
Dan Pompey has been covering the league for a long, long time. I remember, Derek, when you were playing and the Titans first got to town, we were starting to figure out, you know, when I used to, back in my day, be part of the crew that would schedule our show, you know, you start looking around in that black book, you know, who are the good writers that are writing good stuff about the league? Dan Pompey was in that group for sure. So he probably joined us to talk about Derek Mason once upon a time. I can't remember exactly, but you know, what did I say about Jeffrey Simmons a few weeks ago? He's the best player on the Titans, and it's not even
close. You said that a few times, and you're right.
I say it every week. He is unbelievable. He changes the game. And one of the big things about this article is to sort of yell and scream to everybody who's never heard of Jeffrey Simmons, and there's probably some that haven't. It's just how good he is. And he's got numbers to back it up. And he's got people, not only analytics-wise, but also some of his peers like Quentin Nelson that are saying, hey, I've gone against all these guys. He's as good or better than Aaron Donald, or just as effective. And so that leads to, what is the contract going to look like? And here is the quote that's pretty interesting, that basically says, we want to pay you. We don't know where it's going to come from. So, Derek, what do you make of that? Because, like, that's an odd thing. So this was the discussion. Remember the whole odd press conference where Jeffrey Simmons was like, I don't want to talk about my contract. I don't really have an agent. Remember, there was these weird press conferences. And so I'm guessing that's when, behind the scenes, this was the discussion. The quote is, it was, we want you to be here, but we don't know exactly when we'll be able to pay you. The Titans were like, we don't know if we're going to be able to offer you what you think you're worth. We want to pay you, but we don't know where it's going to come from. That's basically what it was, not an offer. So to his credit, Jeffrey Simmons continued to play. He could have pulled the power play like some of the wide receivers did and just sat out and said, you know, that's fine, but until you guys pay me what I'm worth, I'm not going to play. He didn't do that. But it still puts the Titans in a dilemma, because at some point they're going to have to pay more than they would have paid last summer. Right, Derek? That's what you and I have been saying, is it's only going to start costing you more the longer you wait.
Yeah, it will. And you know, it's like, say if you like somebody, girl or boy, it don't matter. You know, it's you in a relationship, and you know, you the girl, and you ask the guy, or you know, what does he want and whatnot, and he said, well,
dangerous question.
He said, well, babe, you know, I like you a lot, but I just don't know if we will ever like be a couple moving forward. Or the girl, or the guy might ask the girl that, and the girl said, I don't know if we're going to be a couple moving forward. What do you think those two individuals would do if it was said? They would be like, okay, fine, and they'll walk away. They'd be like, majority of the time, just like, I know there's nothing moving forward because you've already told me. So why am I here? Like, you know, I can do this somewhere else. Right. You know, the girl or the guy, I can do this somewhere else. If you claim you like me a lot, but then on the same hand, you say, well, I don't know if there's a future with us moving forward. I don't know. As the person on the other end, you're like, well, hell,
what am I doing? What am I doing?
Yeah, like, I'm gone. You know, it's not cool.
Bye, Felicia.
See ya. And that's just where that's what was said about Jeffrey Simmons. Hey, listen, we want you to be here, but, you know, we just don't know where we're going to find the money. Well, if I'm Jeffrey, I'm like, okay, I get it. And I'm not saying, and Jeffrey did the right thing. I'm not saying nothing else.
Yep.
I'm just going to go and play my game, live my life. And you know what? Somebody's going to come calling while I'm out doing my thing, having a good time. There's going to be that nice honey dip that just tapped me on the shoulder. Say, hey, what you doing? You look good dancing. And then y'all just going to spark something, and boom. Or the girl out there getting a groove on, dancing with a girl. And the guy come, hey, babe, whoa. And you're like, okay, let's dance. And then y'all spark up something. Now you're gone.
Hang on.
Yes.
Honey dip?
Yeah, I'm messing with my son like that. it's just another way of saying, hey, you know, honey lady, dip. Like, that's my good, like, nice looking girl or whatnot. I call him honey dip. And my son hates it when I say honey dip to him. It's like, are you talk to a little honey dip now? He hates that with a passion. But I said to mess with him. But anyway,
listen to this part of it, too. Uh-huh. Remember that interview we had with Chris Mortensen not too long ago, where he pointed out that when you have the revenue streams of a new stadium and you've got deep pockets as ownership, you have an advantage in being able to use the salary cap a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And They use the term in this article, the mom and pop organization. And Jeffrey Simmons loves that part of it. Mm-hmm. He loves the family-owned team. He loves Nashville. He loves everything about it. But it's got to trouble you when you hear that. Like, I'm not sure where we get the money from. That does remind me of Mort when he said, look, some owners, some teams don't have enough deep pockets to be able to write a check for a huge signing bonus, right? The way you want to structure a massive contract. And this is going to be a massive contract. It'll be worth every penny. And we should be thankful that Jeffrey Simmons is playing for a discount this year. They're getting elite play for what? $2 or $3 million a year?
$2.2 million.
Where Aaron Donald makes 30? Yeah, that's gonna change everything when they have to write the check. But part of that makes me wonder, are they gonna be able to write the check?
But like, Willie,
I hope they've got the money to do it.
Willie. They're in the process of building a new stadium, okay? So that's
the
going
process,
to take.
Right? Yeah. They haven't started.
They haven't started yet, but they
got to write this check before.
Hey,
you get that.
You just can't go spending money willy nilly. You know, you gotta. There's things you got to take care of moving forward, and the biggest is a new stadium. But I think Jeffrey Simmons.
What does that quote tell you, though? That he's saying we want.
They don't have the
Willie, the money.
They don't have they don't have the money to pay him, and then have to pay other people moving forward. Because as we've seen, the league is getting more expensive, meaning the players are making more money. And if you can't pay, they're going to hop to another team. I like what Jeffrey Simmons is doing from this standpoint. He's already told you, he's already let it be known to everybody, basically. Hey, listen, I want to be here. And, you know, this is, y'all drafted me. Y'all gave me an opportunity. I made do on it. I want to be here. I just want to get paid. The Titans come back to him and say, listen, we want you here, but I don't know if we can pay you the money that you think you're worth. Jeffrey Simmons says, okay, cool. And you know what he keeps doing? Playing. He ain't saying nothing. Just play, play, play. Because the better he plays, the higher that dollar sign goes up. It's going to get to a point, like I told y'all with A.J. Brown, it wasn't necessarily that. You know, I mean, AJ wanted to be in Philadelphia, but he wanted his money because he felt he proved it. That, hey, listen, I've proven that y'all should pay me. If y'all don't want to pay me, I'm seeing all these other players around me at my position, people that I know, they're getting paid left and right, and I'm the one being left out. So if y'all don't want to pay me, I want to get traded. Do something. He got traded. He got his money. Jeffrey Simmons taking a different approach. He said, I ain't going to say nothing. I'm going to let my play dictate how much I'm paid. All right? And if Titans, if you don't want to pay it, that's fine. I'm not going to cause a ruckus. I'm not going to go out on social media. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to leave quietly. And y'all are going to pay for not having me on this team moving forward. And everybody's going to be jumping on the Titans rather than jumping on Jeffrey Simmons. Because Jeff hadn't said anything, which is good.
No, he's handled it the right way.
Yeah, he's let his play do his talking. And now the Titans have to let their money signs, their dollar signs, and how many zeros they want to give him do the talking.
We'll get Jonathan Hutton's thoughts on this coming up next. He will join us for his weekly visit. It's Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.